ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15th चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 71। एकदा देवसत्रे तु गंधर्वाप्सरसाम गणा उपहुता विश्वश्रिग्भिर् हरे गाथोपगायने। एकदा देवसत्रे तु गंधर्वाप्सरसाम गणा उपहुता विश्वश्रिग्भिर् हरे गाथोपगायने। एकदा ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। वंस देर वॉज अ संकीर्तन फेस्टिवल to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of the demigods, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Purport. Sankirtan means chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life. And the holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahmaloka and Chandraloka, not to speak of Gandharvaloka and Apsaraloka. The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed the entire universe. Once there was a Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord in an assembly of demigods, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras were invited by the Prajapatis to take part in it. Hare Krishna. So, we are discussing currently in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right now, Narad Muni is describing his own story, his story, history, where he is speaking about how in the last life he was a Gandharva named Upabharana, and how he got cursed by the demigods and the great sages, and then he had to take birth on the earth planet as a son of a maid servant. It's very amazing then that here we see that generally we have an experience that when you take part in Sankirtan, then there is a lot of bliss and ecstasy. But yet Narad Muni, or rather Upabharana, is taking part in Sankirtan but is getting cursed. So, as Vajvasipu was mentioning on Saturday, that the demigods in the higher planets, Gandharvas, Apsaras, they have a right to enjoy in the heavenly planets. That is a birthright. So, then why an Upabharana was cursed? What was the reason? He was enjoying with other female companions. The reason was that he was enjoying in the wrong place. So, sometimes facilities are given in human form of life, or as also in the society of devotees. But that facility should not go beyond a particular limit. There is a limit for every facility. So Upabharana was given a facility to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with his enjoying all the girls there. But the place was wrong. The place was a beautiful Sankirtan festival where everyone was supposed to glorify Supreme Lord Vishnu. And here he was in one particular area. He was sitting with all these ladies and using the same Sankirtan, but for his own purposes of attracting young girls to him. and therefore he was cursed. So the Prabhupada in this purport is saying very beautiful points about how Sankirtan means chanting of the holy name. We'd like to highlight three main things that Prabhupada is discussing in the purport. The first thing is Prabhupada is saying that Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. So we'll discuss on that first. Then second we'll discuss on how Prabhupada is saying Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life. And is also, the Sankirtan is also there in all the higher planets. And thirdly, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that sometimes because of our bad luck, this Hare Krishna movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants, they again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world. So we'll try to cover these three points today. So the first point is the Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. I was going through folio Srila Prabhupada's Veda base and I saw that this statement that Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement is often repeated by Srila Prabhupada in many of his lectures. In fact, many of Bhagavatam purports also Srila Prabhupada says the Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. And I was trying to understand why Prabhupada is saying so much on why Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. Because Srila Prabhupada wanted to prove that this Hare Krishna movement is an authentic movement. It's an ancient philosophy which people have forgotten, an ancient lifestyle of civilized human being, which people down the line have forgotten, have lost. And he was presenting it very purely. Now if you see in our own lives, when before becoming a devotee, whenever we came across the Hare Krishna devotees, they always intrigued us in terms of their clothing and their dancing, their hairstyles. And therefore everyone felt like they were different people. In fact, in the Western world, where people had no idea of Vedic culture, the Hare Krishna devotees were considered like strangers, who, as if they have come from some different planets, wearing strange bed sheets, or they would call them as having the whole. They would call that you are shaving your head. Okay, no problem. But why keep that some hair hanging behind? You know, a tuft of hair, and they would call the tilak as bird droppings. So devotees would be ridiculed because people could not just understand who these creatures were. Suddenly these Americans who were like us and suddenly changing a whole lifestyle and dancing on the streets but happy. So that was kind of very intriguing for people outside and therefore they considered to be a new thing. But Srila Prabhupada says here it's not a new thing. Srila Prabhupada in fact in the early days of ISKCON wrote an article, Who is Crazy? And that time he wrote this article because the people outside, they were saying that these people, Hare Krishnas, are crazy. Crazy behavior, crazy dancing, crazy lifestyle, everything crazy. So Prabhupada wrote an article on Who is Crazy? And there he wrote that the outsiders think that the devotees are crazy. But the devotees know that outsiders are crazy. Why? Because as a human, in human form of life, a person is supposed to practice religion that differentiates him from an animal life. And what best religion can practice than practice the religion of loving God? And Srila Prabhupada was propagating that. He was propagating something very pure which people could not digest, which people could not understand. It is something like, let's say, sometimes we see some devotees we have. We give them when we go to Vada farm and we get this pure cow's milk and the pure cow's milk is given to devotees. Many devotees say that I don't like taste of cow's milk, so they don't drink. Or sometimes some devotees drink the cow's milk but they get indigestion and therefore many devotees don't like to drink milk. So what is the problem? Is the milk problem or the person who is not able to drink milk? Is he a problem? Definitely, the person who is not able to drink milk, he is the problem because maybe since his lifetime, since the time of his birth, he has been drinking a liquid which he called milk, but actually was not milk, which was some from dairy or some company, which we hardly know what kind of milk, cow's milk or you know, it's like all milks together. So therefore, when something very pure is given, People cannot digest. It becomes very odd. Prabhupada mentioned the story about one boy who was brought up by his parents serving him cow's urine. Why? Because from birth he had a liver disorder. And therefore the doctors had told that your child cannot drink milk, otherwise you will have problem. Only thing, make him drink cow urine. So the parents had never told him about milk. And only he thought that cow means cow urine, that's all. So one day when his friend told that cow means cow milk, he could not understand. Because from birth he was trained to drink cow urine. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada is presenting something very pure. The whole Vedic culture is presented in this Kali Yuga by Prabhupada. Not just philosophy, but a whole lifestyle. And therefore people who had been used to either not connected with God culture or connected with some hodgepodge God culture could not digest this pure Krishna consciousness which Srila Prabhupada presented. And therefore, people had some problems seeing devotees first. But somehow devotees are always attractive. They always caught attention of people outside. So this hodgepodge philosophy of so-called religion proves to be a major obstacle for a person to take up Krishna consciousness. A normal question which everyone asks, like for example, someone is practicing Krishna consciousness in his life, so immediately his relatives will ask, you should chant, definitely, but why so much? 2 hours every day. And you should go to temple, we also go to temple, but why every Sunday? And that too morning you go and come in the evening. So there is something which is very strange for people. Why? Because they have been practicing a very hodgepodge religious life. I remember, I came across many such incidents of some hodgepodgeness. One such thing was, I remember, one of my relatives, of course, not all are devotees, but one of my relatives, when a small child was born in the house, so one of the elder member of the house decided that we have just bought new vessels, which can be used for as a bhoga vessel for the Lord. So this elderly person decided that because child is an image of God, so let us first feed in that vessel the child, and then after that the vessel can be used for God. And this elderly person was considered very spiritual in the whole family. So you see, this is hodgepodge. And latest there is this hue and cry about marriage between two males. India also now picking up many gay marriages taking place. And you see that recently there was an article which ran that one Indian boy who was settled in America got married to an American boy. And the parents were very happy with the marriage. Not only that, there was one priest, a Hindu priest wearing saffron, who was conducting the marriage with all Vedic mantras. And this fellow had chosen the deity, the main deity presiding the yagya, Vivaha yagya, was Harihara, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu combined. So Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu combined is something, it's a different tattva, but they use that these people are combining, that means Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, it's a Vedic thing, you know, it's like coming from, this is a hodgepodge. You connect something else with some, and you make a new philosophy of that. So we see that in this way, people who have been used to hodgepodge things cannot take up new or cannot take up pure things in their life. I remember when I was small, my mother would continuously tell me not to eat outside anything. And she would tell me, I'll make everything for you at home. Don't eat outside food. This vada pav and samosas and all those things. It's very bad, contaminating. And she would try to make in home all those items. The whole idea was trying to make me not eat outside. But even if after eating all the things cooked purely in the house, I could not appreciate the taste. Why? Because I was addicted to the taste of eating outside. And we know what it means to eat outside. Is it really very pure thing outside? All those things which are sold in restaurants or hotels or on the thelas, there's so much impure, so much of contamination. And maybe that contamination is giving the extra taste to the food. Like recently, I remember I went to Washi market with some devotees. and we are purchasing some sabji for our base. So while purchasing sabji, we saw that the sabjiwala, who was having a wholesale seller, he was keeping some tomatoes next door. He was not selling those tomatoes. In fact, those tomatoes were already rotten, half smashed, but he was keeping them. So we just asked him that, why are you keeping them? Throw that tomatoes. He said, no, this is very important. So why? Because all the hotel wallahs will come and take those tomatoes. And this gives taste to the outside food. Person who has not taken bath, person whose sweat is mixed in the food, and then all those tomatoes and pav bhaji is there, and you cannot appreciate the home pav bhaji because that taste is there. So we are so much addicted to eat or appreciate or take in our life impure things. When pure thing is presented, it looks very, it's very tasteless for us. Even someone told me that, the local people who are selling samosas and vada pavs, they don't buy oil from the stores. They buy second-hand oil. So all the oil which is used in the homes, so there is an industry now which purchases all the used oil, black oil, which is used. And that oil is supplied to all these vendors who are supplying, who make this on the gadi, they have this vada pav. And they use this because they get cheap price. And from that they make all these vada pavs and samosas and this. And people like to eat that. So we are so much into eating all this rubbish stuff. When pure thing is given, we cannot appreciate. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati story about nakil and the ghee. When people in the Burma, they were not appreciating ghee, but they were more happy eating nakil, which was nothing but decomposed body, the rotten substance coming out of decomposed body of all the dead animals around the area. Why? So we can see that people do not appreciate this pure thing because they are addicted to all this hodgepodge stuff. And therefore Prabhupada had to say that this Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. Recently our BT devotees went to Orissa and they were telling us, Prabhuji, whenever we went to any village, all the villagers would come out, they would blow conch shell, they would throw water on the street, they would put garlands on us. It was such a nice welcome. And I thought, actually this is a normal thing in Vedic culture. But because it never happens in city, when we go something like in such a place where Vedic culture is practiced, it creates a sensation in our minds that, oh, they appreciated it so much. Something very pure, something actually original, is considered to be very new. Why? Because it never happens in the ordinary life. So this is a fact that people are not able to appreciate Hare Krishna movement so much. And the Prabhupada would regularly say, this Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement. It is coming from minimum 5,000 years ago, where Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would say. And Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this Vedic culture was millions of years ago, spoken by Lord Krishna to the sun god. And recently, Srila Prabhupada said, 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revived this Vedic culture. So it's not a new movement. It's a old, profoundic movement, authentic movement. So Nisa Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the point of Hare Krishna being movement being a not a new movement, but an authentic, old movement to be practiced by everyone. The next point in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, is that the Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life. And the holy name is chanted in all planets it's chanted in all higher planet systems, including Brahmaloka and Chandraloka. So we see this, throughout scriptures, so many incidents of how actually this Hare Krishna movement or this Sankirtan movement is not a new thing. It's not something which is practiced on the earth planet only, or not just in India. It's not an Indian movement. It's a universal movement. And even the great demigods, they also take part in the Sankirtan movement. Like we often see this example of this wonderful Gaurarti which we sing every evening. What is that Gaurarti? Gaurarti is mentioning that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipped along with all his associates, then all the great demigods come, they do aarti, they do kirtan, and they dance in the aarti. So they also perform Sankirtan. And even in Jagannath Puri, we know Lord Jagannath, it is mentioned that throughout the day, the pandas, the daitapatis or the pujaris worship the Lord Jagannath. But when the time comes for Lord Jagannath to retire in the night, they opulently dress Lord Jagannath. Why? Because they all know, as soon as you close the door, the demigods will come. That's their shift to worship Lord Jagannath. So demigods are going to come. They are all very opulent people. So our Jagannath should be more opulent than them. So Jagannath is worshipped dressed very opulently. So the demigods can come. And it is mentioned, those who are very pure devotees, they can actually hear the kirtan going on inside the altar of demigods coming and worshipping Lord Jagannath. This Brihad Bhagavatamrita also mentions that Narad Muni's travel to all planets. And there it mentions that Narad Muni goes to first Indra Loka. And there he is seeing Indra is worshipping Lord Vishnu and taking part in Sankirtan. So, and then Narad Muni goes next to Brahma Loka. And there in Brahma Loka also, Lord Brahma is chanting and reciting prayers to Lord Vishnu, doing Kirtan. And then Shiva Loka, Lord Shiva is dancing in Kirtan. So wherever Narad Muni goes on his journey to find who is the greatest devotee, he finds everyone engaged in the transcendental chanting of the holy name. Even Lord Nityananda, when he delivered Jagai and Madhai, it is mentioned all the demigods were so enlightened that Jagai and Madhai, the two worst sinners, were delivered. All the demigods in their ecstasy started a very blissful kirtan. Lord Shiva danced, and he danced so wildly that he didn't know where he was. In fact, all his clothes were in either these are in all different directions, and he was dancing in ecstasy. Yamaraj also was so astounded seeing that all the sinful account of Jagai Madhai was completely eradicated by Lord Nityananda's mercy, that Yamaraj also lost control. Ganeshji also came and he danced. So all the demigods are also involved in chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord. So in this way we see that even in higher planets also Lord's holy name or Sankirtan is going on. And finally Sri Prabhupada says that even though this movement is very authentic, it is practiced all over the universe, still we find some envious people who always try again and again in different parts of the world at different times to stop this pure Hare Krishna movement. And Prabhupada says, because of our bad luck sometimes we are stopped, but then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he again revives this movement and it comes out very much more strongly than before. And we have so many examples in our in the history and also in the recent past of how so many times the government or the local people, the neighbors or other religious sects, they tried to stop the Sankirtan movement. But for a short time it was seen as if the Sankirtan movement was stopped. But later, the Sankirtan movement again came up with much more strong force. And there was much better preaching because of the obstacle which the devotees faced. So there are many examples. Like for example, in the history, let's say government, in case of government opposing, we find in the history 500 years ago, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, Chand Kazi, the Muslim government opposed. And we saw that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was successful. And the initial bad fortune of Chand Kazi breaking the mridang and chastising and rebuking the devotees turned out to be a blessing, with Sankirtan movement being fully appreciated by Chand Kazi himself. In fact, he told that none of my descendants should ever stop the Sankirtan. The Sankirtan should continue. And Chand Kazi actually became a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the reason we see so many more examples, like this Bhaktivedanta manor, it got closed and then the devotees got a very powerful victory. And then we also know about Germany, West Germany, there was a big case which was filed, devotees were tortured, but later after 5 years in the West German devotees came out victorious. This was regarding government. Even Russia also, the famous example, KGB tried their best. The KGB had three enemies. One of them was Hare Krishna, three enemies. One was Coca-Cola, second was Hare Krishna's, and third was American culture, pop music. So Hare Krishna was on number two. But now the same Hare Krishna is established in Russia as a bona fide religion. Then in terms of other religions, we see that how Aurangzeb, 500 years ago, he went and destroyed so many temples. Vrindavan also was destroyed literally. During Goswami's time, they had to see, the later Goswami's, that they had to see actually the attack of Aurangzeb. And such a big, beautiful temple of Radha Govinda was completely brought to the ground. Around just one floor was kept. Seven-story temple was pulled down. Of course, Man Singh who had built this temple, his son was Jai Singh, and he had taken the deities very safely. So they had to see this. And but however, later it came out that Lord Krishna had his own plan, and he wanted to go to Jaipur. Vrindavan was a very small place for Lord Radha Govinda, so he went to Jaipur, and he became the king of the state, Jaipur. Actually, the place was called Jaipur, because Pur means city, and Jai means victory. So that place where Lord Radha Govinda is victorious, and the whole palace of king was given to Radha Govinda. So whatever turns out later, turns out to be a glorious event for Krishna consciousness movement. Even as far as religion is concerned, we see that how even a Mayapur temple was attacked by local Muslims, and also we see that some of the authorized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, they also were not supporting our ISKCON movement, and that turned out to be a very sad event of they taking the deities. But ultimately it turned out to be a very great victory because of the installment of Lord Narasingadev there. So in this way we will see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement never fails. It always comes out to be Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. It will never be stopped. So we thought today that we'll discuss two. Let's try if we can discuss two. But we'll start with Bhaktivedanta manner. How this Bhaktivedanta manner, devotees in Bhaktivedanta tried their best to go against the local government and try to bring Krishna consciousness back. So it all happened long, long ago. 1973 was a time when the 17 acres of land was given by George Harrison to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so happy by this wonderful donation of George Harrison that in the same year Srila Prabhupada installed Shri Radha Gokulananda there. And Prabhupada's vision was to create Vrindavan in London. He wanted the same atmosphere of Vrindavan in London, but not just a temple, but an educational institute of teaching and guiding devotees and training them. He wanted actually a temple and a community of devotees around a temple so that preaching can spread from there in European countries. So in due course of time, many local people, especially the Hindus in north of London, got attracted to this temple. And slowly, the crowd swelled up. Many people started coming to the temple regularly on Sundays. And they admired Srila Prabhupada's wonderful contribution in the Western world. And so they also admired that how these Western devotees, apparently brought up in Western culture, but were doing such wonderful deity worship and taking care of the temple, that they were surprised, the Hindus were surprised, that we could not do, these people from Western world, they are doing it. And therefore, they always had a lot of admiration for devotees. And they always went and told others about this temple. And this way, then the whole of north of London knew about this temple in of Bhaktivedanta manor. And literally, many people started coming. And the biggest crowd came on Janmashtami. When literally thousands of people would come. And there was one problem. The problem was that this temple was situated in a village. Of course, when we talk about village, it is not an Indian village. It's a Western village where they have their own mansions, and on the countryside they have their own houses. People who are very dirty rich, they take their houses there and stay there. So the road to the temple was through this village. And therefore, during Janmashtami and also during Sunday festivals, there was huge traffic jams there, and there was huge loud noise because of people going and coming to and fro. So this alarmed the local people there who were not from Sanatana Dharma background. So they were they started propagating against devotees, and they went to the local council. It was 1981 that the local council decided to ban the temple. But some of the devotees approached the local council, and they had an agreement, a compromise, that you can't have more than six festivals in 1 year. Only six festivals. That's only six festivals if you celebrate, and nothing more than that. So devotees kind of agreed with the compromise. But in 1985, when two devotees bought land in the same village, then the local people became very much suspicious. That now these people have started buying land in our place. Tomorrow they will buy our houses. And slowly, slowly they will take over us. So they became so alarmed that all of them together, they went to the local council and they told that, of course they had a reason. The external reason was too much traffic, too much noise, too many Hindus here. So you should ban this temple. So it is mentioned that the local council decided, they tried their best to take the devotees to high court and ban the Bhaktivedanta manor. But somehow it didn't work there. Because so many people were coming and they were all very people from very good class of society. However, when things are not working from the high court level, from the court level, the local council decided to take its own stand. And on its own, 1987, the local council, it cancelled the original agreement of compromise of having 6 festivals. And they issued an enforcement notice to the temple that they should shut out public entirely. No people should come to temple. And this was their own plan. They had not gone to the court, nothing like that. They just, as a tyrant, government officials, local council, so they decided we'll stop it. In fact, some of them are saying that, why don't you shift to temple somewhere outside? Why stay here? So some devotees try to propose a plan to the council that, okay, we have a plan by which everyone will be happy. But somehow this local council was so envious that they did not consider any plan by the devotees. It was looking at outrightly single-sided case where they didn't want to hear anything from devotees. They wanted to somehow remove devotees from that place. So even an application was given to them, they turned it down. Then devotees decided to go to higher courts or higher organizations, institutions to help, take help. So in 1988, the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Manor approached the Department of Environment for an appeal. And even this Department of Environment did not take any notice. In fact, the state secretary denied anything for devotees. So then devotees decided that now the government will not help us. So in 1989, they started a small movement called a Save the Manor movement. And this movement began, and all the supporters were the local Hindus. They came and they protested, they petitioned, and all these people were taking help from the local political leaders also to make their case very strong. And finally, in the year 1989, 7,000 people, they joined on a sponsored walk to the parliament. The whole idea was, while walking, they will also propagate and they will collect funds and also create sympathy for the movement. So while doing so, very prominent people, a very famous film star, a famous cricket star was also there. And that fund gave the temple a huge fund of 1 lakh pounds so that they can cover the legal fees. We are supposed to come as the court, as the devotees may be tried in court later. It is mentioned that that was the largest Hare Krishna chanting party ever seen in the Western world outside India. 7,000 people all coming together and shouting slogans to bring the temple back. And but somehow, even though that sponsored walk could not get any sympathy from the government, in fact, things started turning from bad to worst. And in 1991, to more disappointments, it is mentioned that the European Courts of Human Rights, they told that our hands are tied, we cannot do anything for you. The political leaders who were trying to help our this Save the Manor movement, they also gave up. And every legal channel in the country was closed for the devotees. And a notice came in temple that on March 16, 1994, a temple will be shut down. And devotees had no way what they can do because the legal channels shut down. Even the local authorities were not, even the government authorities on a country level were not helping. So the devotees then decided that we are all trying from our side. We never approached Radha Gokulananda for the victory. So they all decided that we made a major mistake. So they called all the people who had kind of congregated to help devotees, that you all come to temple one by one, and you all come in front of the deities, and you pray to the deities. We may have lost many battles, but yet the gates are open. The Lord's gate is still open. So in this way, everyone would come regularly to the temple and they would come in the front of the deities and they would chant this prayer. The dear Lord, if you so desire, for the pleasure of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, please keep Bhakti Vedanta manor open for all your devotees. This was a regular prayer which was going. And for long duration of time this prayer continued, but nothing happened. So previously, this is 1994 now, but 1987 a devotee had thought of a plan of making a new road. But then what happened was, when they approached the local villagers for the land for that road, they denied. So this thought was kind of rejected, that they will never give us land for the road. However, now in 1994 they decided to try it again for the new, and they somehow convinced that person who was having that land, and the person agreed to sell his land, but at a very high price. And amazingly, 300,000 pounds, which was quickly raised, and the whole area was purchased. So now they had a plan. Alternative plan. Okay, you have problem of traffic and have problem of people. So let us all have, we'll have our own private road, which will not disturb you from all these cars. And we should know that the cars which are coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor were not some 10 or 15, 20 cars, or 100 cars, or thousands. Thousand cars. In fact, in Janmashtami, 80,000 cars come. So you can imagine what kind of traffic it may be if you have a very small road. So they got a proposal and they approached the council, local council, that we'll build the road and you keep the temple open. But somehow or other, the local council just took the application and did not do anything for it. The devotees kept going to them and asked, what about the application? And it looked like the local council was just trying to evade, or rather delay the whole thing, so that this date of March 16, 1994 should come and temple should be closed. So they tried all their plots to not kind of encourage devotees. So devotees now came to know that it was not the traffic, not the sound. It was the envy towards Krishna consciousness movement, which was triggering all these local villagers and the local council. So it was not fight against traffic or fight against sound, but it was fight against actually the Krishna consciousness movement. So in this way, then on the March 16, 1994, the day was temple was supposed to be closed, 36,000 people, they all marched from all over London, all over Britain, to stage a protest, shouting slogans that today we are banned to worship, shame on British government, and we want to protect our dharma from being attacked. Many devotees like our Pranbandhu Prabhu, they fasted for many days during that time. Many devotees came together. Even some devotees were so angry they spat on the police. And they were tried in the jail and all those things happened. But devotees were really very much not happy. In fact, it is mentioned that this Pandav Sena actually came out that time. The devotees knew that they could not go outrightly and do something very drastic and very aggressive towards the government police. Whereas devotees are not supposed to present the movement like that. So the Pandav Sena was designed that young people will be recruited, devotees, but they will be in a normal clothing and they will do the aggressive activities. So that was the reason why this Pandav Sena came into picture. Of course, later it turned out to be the Pandav Sena actually became a very, very powerful youth organization there, and so many activities they are conducting here. So this massive rally shook the government. 36,000 people had come. And they pressured the local council that, what are you doing? And because of the pressure, the local council decided, okay, we will not close the temple today. But the local council didn't want to show that they are fearing, and they were out of fear they have done it. So they told that, okay, because the application has come, your application for the road has come, and because the application is still pending, so we are delaying the closing of temple. So now the road plan was there, everything was there, but the plan was again delayed. And suddenly, it is mentioned in the beginning of year 1995, the devotees would previously appealed to the Department of Environment. The Department of Environment had taken up a survey amongst the local people and also in Britain about the popularity of Hare Krishna. And they found that people all over Britain were favoring the Hare Krishnas. It shocked them that actually people love them very much. And seeing this, the devotees also started a PR department, by which they went all the way through to meeting very important people and getting their solicitation. So what happened? This resulted in great PR. The Hare Krishna movement, who was just in North London, now became a talk of the entire Britain. And everyone all over Britain were talking about the Hare Krishna movement in manner. So there was a great publicity. And this, and because of this, what happened? It is mentioned that many more people came into picture. Secretary of a very big Hindu organization favored, supported us. He appreciated the activity of youth. In 1994, even though apparently the manor was banned, but still devotees celebrated Janmashtami. And when devotees celebrated Janmashtami, the local council became very angry. And they fined devotees for 37,000 pounds. And devotees became very much unhappy, because now it was completely clear that it was complete envy against the devotees and not nothing else. But somehow suddenly the case turned up, as if Krishna was manifesting something divinely from the top. It is mentioned that the Department of Environment, they announced that they accepted the proposal of land of devotees, and the Secretary of State, who had previously not accepted devotees' proposal, she wrote that manor is unique in UK because there is no comparable alternative place for teaching, worship and meditation. Plus, the founder of this movement, Hare Krishna Movement, Srila Prabhupada, has a very special relationship with this place. So therefore, we cannot close this place. Unique. She was writing in such a way that as if she was a devotee. And then she mentioned, therefore, this place should not be closed. And there was announcement, there was a proposal, that the whole thing was accepted, that local councils are not accepting, but we from government are giving a green signal. Go and build your own road. So devotees became so happy. All the devotees who were there, they all came and they came to temple. Many of them were crying, they were clapping, and they were chanting and dancing that they got victory. And within a very short time, just before Janmashtami was coming, the next Janmashtami, they built this big road. And in this way, the Bhaktivedanta Manor, which was supposed to be closed down, was again reopened for the public. And the Save the Manor campaign, which was going on, it is mentioned that it increased the fame of the Hare Krishna movement. Once only known in the North London, now devotees and people from all over the Britain and also all over the world, they would come and gather and take part in the Sankirtan festival there. And not just fame, even the property of Bhaktivedanta Manor, which was just initially 17 acres, now it became 70 acres. And all the 80,000 cars were now nicely parked in that area, which we purchased later. So in this way, you can see that apparently it looked like someone is stopping this movement, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later brought this whole opposition into a glorious victory. In fact, now people from all over Britain come to participate in Janmashtami. In fact, many of our ISKCON leaders have said that this is the best Janmashtami in the whole of ISKCON. And this all has happened after that whole court trial. So this we can see that this Krishna consciousness movement is bound to be victorious. Like before ending, I'd like to tell a nice story about Dwarka. This is Mahavishnu Maharaj was trying to build a temple in Dwarka. And it is mentioned that the land which they had got from the government was illegally held by one person. So Maharaj would regularly go there, Mahavishnu Maharaj, and try to tell the person that should give the land to us. We are trying to build a temple of Krishna. So one time this person, who was a hoodlum actually, was a local gang leader there, he became so angry on Mahavishnu Maharaj, he scolded him and said, if again you come in this gully, in Mohalla, I will kill you. So Maharaj just laughed. And Mahavishnu Maharaj is a very jolly person. He smiled at him and said, do you know who you are against? You are not against me. You are against Dwarkadish Krishna. And I will tell you one thing, Krishna does not like to lose. So this person was taken aback. He never thought of like that. You know, he's against Krishna and Dwarka, and Krishna doesn't like to lose. And things turned up and turned very well, and he gave the land to the devotees, and devotees made a temple. So Krishna doesn't like to lose. Srila Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna movement is never stopped. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.